Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Pony Development Sync for March 22nd, the year 2022. Happy spring, everyone, or for those in the Southern Hemisphere, happy autumn. We've got some auto-generated agenda items here today. There is in the RFC's repo. Oh, sorry, before I go on to that, where are my manners? I'm your host, Joe McElvain. If those others on the call want to introduce themselves so people listening along can associate a name to the voice, now is a good time for that before I forget.
I'm Sean Allen, and it's spring for me.
Hi, I'm Gord Tischer.
I'm Red Davis.
All right, so let's begin in the RFC's repo, pull request 200, introduce new numerics. I'm not actually sure if there'll be much to discuss here because I know Ryan is not in our call today, but if anyone had anything they want to discuss about this ticket, I know there's a lot of comments in the ticket already, so maybe that we can just leave it at those.
Yeah, I think we're probably good. Joe, do you agree with my last one that I think where I said I think it makes sense for the to discuss rational and complex separate from the big int and big decimal stuff, as they seem to be rather different in the amount of work and consideration that needs to go into them?
I am not strongly opinionated about whether they are addressed in the same RFC or separate RFCs, but I do think that the same amount of work or the same amount of the same level of detail as the definition, I should say.
I think there's the same level of detail. I think there is the same level of detail, but I think there are considerably more issues around how do you, like, I think that the big int and big decimal are probably going to require reworking the hierarchy that we have for traits and types and where things are. And it seems unlikely from looking at it that the same would apply to rational and complex. So that rational and complex could probably be done with the same level of detail, but implemented much sooner than the big int and big decimal. And then whatever big int and big decimal require for changes is going to impact on everything anyway, including rational and complex. So there's not really any additional work, I think. That's my belief.
Yeah, I mean, that seems reasonable to me. I don't have a strong opinion either way, but that seems reasonable. Okay, discuss during sync tag has been removed. Let's see, issue ticket 104 in the RFC's repo. Expose the pony version during compile time. It looks removed the label and then it added the label back. Okay.
I guess, yeah, I left the comment and I didn't, and it was still running the thing where there was a comment added to it so that it put it back on after I removed it. Yeah.
Ooh, erase condition. Okay. Yeah. All right. So let's move on to the Pony C repo. Pull request 4065. Don't allow FFI calls in default methods or behaviors. This is an interesting approach.
I see that a bunch of things are failing now with the latest change that he did. I don't know what the latest change is to address the ABI size issue.
I don't think this is the same ticket you're thinking of. I'm looking at 4065.
Oh, I see. This is entirely different. Don't allow FFI calls in default methods or behaviors. You're right.
Let's see. Maybe I was not in that sync when it was discussed. I'm seeing now on issue ticket 3997. That Sean, you had said, we decided during sync that two is the better option for a pragmatic fix for this, for two is don't allow FFI calls in default method bodies. Yeah, I mean, this is not necessarily the way I would have wanted to approach it, but I think it's, I'm not going to be a blocker for it. I just, yeah, I think looking up the declarations from the appropriate spot would be better. But yeah, if no one's willing to do that approach, and this is an easier one that people are willing to do, I think it's okay.
So
it's not a big disruption.
I think that this right here that we have, right? Whenever the all of the package stuff that I was talking about, I think when that goes in, we undo this, because what this was really about was, for the time being, it's confusing that there's some weirdness because FFI declarations are at the package level rather than the module level, the file level, right? That it operates a little differently than our existing stuff. So we decided we went with this as the short term, easier to reason about thing. Okay. While we work towards a larger one. And I think that in terms of this right here, if we do the switch, which is in that stuff, which you and I and some others have been discussing, where there's, you know, use ones are across the entire package, right? Then this, we'd address this in an entirely different way anyway, because, you know, the weirdness would no longer apply.
Okay. Yeah. In that sense, it makes sense to me, right? To do the easier fix. And then
yep.
If the problem goes away when we make package management changes that we're planning to make, then that makes sense to me. Okay.
Yep.
The implementation looks okay. I'm marking as approved, although obviously there are some failures to look at, but I have not looked at them.
I have not looked at them either. I'm kind of curious. I will take a quick look. I assume based on the giant mass of them that it's something fairly straightforward.
Oh yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Like a local variable name issue.
Well, and that actually that there's a can't call if there's actually a test which is using this functionality. Okay. I see here. In the files package, there's a call to get UID equals zero. So hey, and look, there's a nice little yeah. So that's why it's failing.
Okay. Yeah. So looks good except for resolving the build failures. And remove the label. Yeah, and so is there going to be a race case? Like, I just add like a comment that says looks good except for resolving the build failures. If I remove the label now, is there going to be a race condition with the,
bot? Until the bot is done running? Yes, let's see. So every, yeah, there probably will be, because GitHub has some slowness going on right now. But
okay,
we'll see.
Right. Yeah, I thought that all the failures at the beginning were just GitHub being down, but I see that.
Nope, there's actually there's a test where you need to move the thing into a primitive.
Okay. Yep. I'll do that later.
All right. So looking now at the next pull request, allow to override the return type of FFI functions.
Oh, one question, Joe. Did you give the release notes a good read on that?
I think I skimmed them. I'll give them a better read now.
I'll give them a read now too, because I didn't.
Okay.
I like this. I think this is a really good explanation.
Yes. very detailed.
Yes. It's awesome. Awesome release notes, Borja. I love them.
Thanks.
Love them.
So the next pull request was pull request 4060, also by Borja. Thank you. Yeah, so I think the next step here is, Borja, you reached out to me about pairing up on some of the code gen code to get some of that figured out with the ABI checks that need to be done. Let's see. Oh, yes, you proposed a time. I'm checking my calendar one more time here. Yes. Yes, that the time you propose does work for me. I'm going to put a block on my calendar for it, and we can meet up then.
Okay, perfect.
Okay. And that's in my calendar. Cool. So we will look at that one at that time. Turn Windows debug CI back on.
I'll just take the label off of this. There's, it still happens. Is the answer to the question?
The monster remains. Okay.
Yes. I was typing something about this on the commit on the issue, and I was like, wait, I don't actually know that what I'm saying is true. Let me verify that, and then it. Did I verified it, and I forgot to take the label off of it, but I did then leave the comment on the issue.
All right, verifaint.
I was supposed to be a
portmanteau of verify and ain't, but it didn't go that well. Moving on to issue tickets in the Pony C repo. Let's see. Update Linux, GNU pre-builds to use Ubuntu 22.04.
Yep, this is one for the future. It's supposed to be, they pushed the original date was supposed to be April 1st on this. It's now back to the 21st of April for when it comes out. But there's three, the next three issues are all things related to that.
Okay, so it looks like you're removing the labels from those. Okay.
Yep, and you got one already.
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
Yeah, I was looking at when the release was because I knew it came up and I knocked off some issues and I forgot to take the discuss it sync off because there's really nothing to discuss on those.
Ooh, compiler crash and heap to stack optimization. This is going to be a fun one. So this is from Red. Thank you for the ticket, Red. You have a playground link.
So I got the most minimal example that I could come up with, Joe.
Okay.
In the time that I had, and it eliminated a number of things which I was wondering about. But so important bits, this has to go through the interface. In particular, the P variable, right, in main. Needs to be the interface, not the concrete class for this to happen. And then it really doesn't matter what is in the array. I tried putting things in the array. I tried having an empty array. I had tried having logic in the array. I tried in the loop. I tried having logic not in the array, not in the loop. So yeah, this was the minimal one for what's important.
Okay, so I'm just seeing what call sign is being removed here. So we have in the heap to stack run on instruction, there's a remove call edge 4. So I'm in genop.cc line 113 is run on instruction, and then remove call edge 4 is called in one place, and that is so it's removing the call to either Pony Alec or Pony Alec Small. Analysis is available. If CG node. Remove for call. CG node is call graph node for the function itself. Wait, but is F the function that's being called, or is F the function that is the call site? F is the call site. Okay, call site function. So I mean, if we're not able to figure this out in a reasonable amount of debugging, in theory, I think one way to solve it would be to mark our pass as not preserving the call graph analysis. So that LLVM would know that the call graph analysis is now invalid and needs to be run again. Because it looks like what this area of the code is doing here on, like, you know, 193 to 200 of genop.cc, it looks like what this is doing is to say, okay, well, we're removing this call site. And so if there's a call graph analysis, we need to update it. To exclude this, the other way would say, okay, it's not, the other way would be, it's not our job to update the call graph analysis. We just say, okay, it's the call graph analysis is now invalid. LLVM, you have to do whatever passes you need to do to get a new call graph analysis. So that would be kind of like the easy way out, which might cause slightly longer compile times, but less bugginess. I think that would maybe be an approach, but I'm just now, let's see. So we're in, I just want to make sure, does my local version have the right version of LLVM? We haven't updated LLVM recently, have we? I know we're trying to update the 14.
What does recently mean?
I don't know, I'll just look for myself in my, I'll make sure I'm on the latest PonyC in the Git submodule.
We should be on like 13.0.1 now for the last, I think, 2 or 3 months, but I have no sense of time, so it could be longer. Hold on, let me see. We updated to that. The release was... we updated to it sometime between February 2nd and February 8th was when we updated to 13.0.1.
So we're in remove call. It has invalid address. So what's interesting here is that there is an assert in LLVM that says cannot find the call site to remove, but it looks like we're not hitting that assert. So what it's doing is we have the call base in this. So for every function called within the function we're from, we iterate over the list of functions called, and if it matches the call base, then we drop ref pops it out of the list. All references. So let's see. Does anybody happen to have LLVB open with us right now? Or I guess I can move it
back here. I do not right now.
Building. Okay. So here I am in LLDB. I've got the invalid address. Yeah, so going up. Oh, it's all. I don't have the source. Why don't I have the C source working? I wonder if I needed to be debugging from the other directory. Let's see. One moment. Weird. For some reason, of course that's why. Okay, hang on. I'm using the wrong 20C. Sorry, is it just ridiculous to listen to me debug things here?
Hey, I've been the one debugging in several fashions on here anyways.
Yeah.
I think I had a failure of my English language usage there. Sorry.
It's okay. Yeah, the problem was, of course, I wasn't getting the LLDB source code references because I was using the release build of 20C rather than the debug build of 20C. So right now, I'm using the debug build. Optimizing cast is taking a long time, and I haven't gotten my crash yet. So that's... Has anyone else tried this on a debug build of 20C?
Yes, I did debug. I'm pretty sure. I believe yes. When I was playing around with it, I was doing it all with a debug one. But did I drop a stack trace in, or did I just never? Yeah, no.
There is a stack trace, but
that came from Red, so it didn't come from me.
So. Mine gets stuck in some kind of, it's like the compiler just hangs in the optimization phase, and I have to kill it externally. I have to kill the process.
I had that happen to me once and then never again.
Okay, so far it is happening to me every time.
I thought I had done something weird and funky. So that's interesting. I had it happen once, and yeah, I thought I'd done something weird and funky. Oh, I remember when it happened to me, I did a make clean and I rebuilt, and then it didn't happen anymore.
Okay.
So
make clean, I will.
So yeah, I remember that I had the same thing happen, and I thought that was weird, and it didn't happen anymore, and I totally forgot about it.
All right. It should be make build config equals debug, right?
Yes, but you have to after make clean, yeah. You have to do make configure.
I'll make configure, of course.
Make okay. Configure config equals debug first.
All right, there we go. Sorry. I forget about the configure step. Okay. So I'm rebuilding. Maybe it was the same issue you ran into, but that was just weird because compiler was just hanging for me.
No, so for me, it runs and.
Are you on a debug build?
Yep.
I only bring you quality compiler bugs. It's the least I can do.
This is some highly refined, high-grade compiler bug. Okay. And it's hanging for me again.
Really?
Even after the clean build. Yeah. Kill it externally and...
Which example is hanging for you? Like the one that Sean posted on
Sean's example, yeah.
LLDB -- Home, Shoshan, debug, pony C, run. Oh, no. Boom for me. Okay. You want me to share my screen, Joe?
Yeah, I'm mainly interested in... Oh, yeah, go ahead and share your screen. That works.
Allow me to share my screen.
Ah.
Host, person view.
All right. Advanced. This is an advanced sharing option, everyone.
Yes, I know.
Okay, you should be able to do it. Yeah, it's very advanced to let people share their screen.
Here's our back trace.
Okay. Can you go up?
Just tell me what to type, and I will type it.
Up. UP, up.
What?
UP, up.
I've never used up before. That's interesting. I didn't know that one was there for LLDB.
How about that? I think it's probably like an alias they added for GDB users. I don't know. I grew up on GDB, so.
Oh, I see that changed. Yeah, I always just type the frame. I type frame and like the number. Okay, I see what that does. Got it.
So can you, actually, this kind of has, this kind of already has enough information, which is that I was trying to see, okay, well, what is it trying to do? Yeah, I don't have any immediate insights from this. I was looking to see if maybe the instruction was not valid. Let's see, is there a way to, can you do p space call dot dump parentheses? Does that work? Trying to remember how to dump. Okay. LVM call. I gotta look at the call base now. One moment. Yeah, this is a quality LVM. Oh, good job. Good job, Brad. Where is that index? Where is call base defined in LVM? That's right, I can just use F12. Like a professional. Okay, so it's a subclass of instruction. Instruction, I thought, had some kind of dump. Is it just capital E dump? I'm just not remembering the C++ way. Okay. Can you do p space call dot print, lowercase p print, and then in the parentheses put ERRS parentheses? So errors is a function that remove the underscore p. Sorry, I was just saying lowercase p as in capital P, like many LLVM functions are. And then errors, can you add parentheses after the S? And let's see what we get here. What is the return type of errors? One moment. Errors, okay. So you need to cast errors to raw underscore FD underscore O stream. Why didn't I remember that off the top of my head? Who knows? LLVM colon colon raw underscore FD underscore O stream. Of course there isn't, okay. What about Void Star? Our good friend Void Star. I don't care what you cast it to, just make it a Void Star. Why does print require two arguments? Okay. That's really nice.
There we go. There it is, though. Look. LLVM colon colon raw ostream.
Okay.
Ostream, right? What?
Yeah, sometimes LLDB doesn't know about things that really do exist, but it just doesn't know about them. So this is quality radio here. Here I am navigating the LLVM class hierarchy, trying to find where the darn base function, try the, where the darn print function is defined. LLVM value, is that where it's defined? Yes, okay. And the second argument is not supposed to be a number, it's a Boolean is for debug. So we'll add that true instead of, so it should just take two arguments. So get rid of the 80. And can we make it void star? Does it work with void star? This is ridiculous. Thanks, LLDB. Thanks, C++. I say we abort this for now, and well, yeah. It would be good to know. Oh, can I just wish in the C API, and maybe we need to convert it to the C handle. Can you go up again? Or no, you can't. Never mind.
Why can't I go up again?
Well, you can, but it won't do what I was hoping it would do.
Okay.
Can you do, let's see, f.print? Well, this is going to lead us the same rabbit hole, isn't it? But all right, I need to look up the C code for wrapping it so we can use the C API. One moment. This is an LLVM core. We've got, I'm looking at the LLVM C API. LLVM core, we've got values, we've got general APIs probably. Okay, so. All right, so LLVM dump value is the C function we want to call. And we want to call it with, how do we wrap it? I'm just trying to talk a little bit through my head process just so that it's less of a dead air.
That's fine.
So right now I'm just looking up the proper invocation to wrap, to create, basically to create an LLVM value ref from a C++ value. So I'm looking through the source code now. I just usually don't deal with the LLVM C++ API, so that's why I'm feeling a little bit lost. So C++, the C API wrappers use something called wrap inside, but where is wrap defined? LVM colon colon wrap, okay. Does P F dot wrap work? This is the P because you can't like do something else for printing it. So F dot wrap and then parentheses. Does that work? All right. What about P LLVM colon colon wrap and then the F inside? No matching. Okay, so ampersand before the F then. Okay, oh, now we're in business. All right, so use that as the argument to a call to LLVM, so capital L, capital L, capital V, capital M. Dump with a capital D, and then value with a capital V. And then use that as the use the LLVM wrapped F as the as the argument to it. And you'll need to put a P in the front, otherwise it'll say, what the heck are you trying to ask me to do? Oh, of course. I don't know, it was a boyfriend. God. LDV, why are you making me do the work of knowing what function definition is? Come on. All right, that works. Okay, so where's the call to Pony Alex? So we have Pony Alex small there for value 9. That's probably the one we're trying to remove. There's an unreachable ASM side effect. Is that the code for that we use in benchmarks for like do not optimize? Is that what this is? We have the do not optimize primitive. Is that?
Yeah, but I don't know if we. Let me see.
I'm just trying to remember where I've seen the void side effect. Before. All right. So we have it in two places. We have do not optimize apply, do not optimize observe. Oh, there's a third place. Ooh, workaround for LLVM's infinite loops or undefined behavior. So right now I'm in gentype.c, line 363. If a pony behavior contains an infinite loop, the LLVM optimizer in its current state can assume the associated message is never received. From there, if the dispatch switch is optimized to a succession of conditional branches on message ID, it is very likely that receiving the optimized out message will call another behavior on the actor, which is very, very bad. Yes, it does sound very bad. This inline assembly cannot be analyzed by the optimizer and thus must be assumed to have side effects, which prevents the removal of the default case, which in turn prevents replacement of the switch. In addition, the setup in CodeGen machine results in unreachable instructions being lowered to trapping machine instructions, which are guaranteed to crash the program. As a result, if an actor receives a message affected by this bug, the program will crash immediately instead of doing some crazy stuff.
Yeah, so I think we can remove this. This was fixed with LLVM 12.
Okay.
Yeah, with that release, they added support for infinite loops.
So I have no direct reason to believe that this would also solve our problem. Oh, I guess Sean's going to try it. that would be a direct reason if it works. Yeah, so I have no direct reason to believe that removing this will solve our problem, but I also don't, I don't know enough to say it won't solve the problem. So it's just something in proximity that could be causing weirdness with the LLVM optimizer. So right now, for those listening along, Sean is recompiling with that inline assembly removed. And here we go. Same, not the same bug.
Looks like the same to me. At least the trace looks similar.
It's not in the heap stack path.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So, yeah. The question is, what did the trace look like for the? Was there an issue ticket attached to that thing we just removed?
Wait, I have it here.
Because I'm wondering if that's similar trace back to what we saw before we added the thing we just removed. In which case, it would kind of show that we do still need it, and that it's the same.
Yeah, so it's the same as Red posted on the VR.
Sorry, what PR?
Sorry, on the issue. So it's the call graph node remove call at 4.
Wait, but what is the the LLVM infinite loop optimization thing that we just we just commented out the fix for? What was the traceback for that looking like? If we had the issue ticket for that one.
Let's see. It's 2592. Well, on that PR, it should say.
Okay, so this is from Benoit. We don't have a. We don't have a traceback for what it looked like. The LLVM side. Is there a test case? There's no test case. So maybe we don't have a way of proving that this bug is gone. So Benoit says in this pull request that the effect would be an incorrect behavior being called on a message receive, which is not what's happening. Like, this was put in place to crash the program at runtime instead of letting it do undefined behavior at runtime. And what we're seeing now is not that. What we're seeing is compile time crash. It's lowering and expect intrinsic. Well, can we go up here? Can you type up up? And then if you use the up arrow a few times, you should get that same, or actually go up the stack one more time. And then where are we? Oh, we don't have the, we're not going to be able to do anything because we don't have the local variable to grab for this function because we're not inside code that we have the source code attached. Like LLDB doesn't know how to grab the local variable to show us what function this is, unfortunately. Unless somebody knows of a trick to do that, that I don't know. Like to get the argument to the function that we're in right now, because it's inline assembly, I don't think you can easily, unless you figure out what register it's in.
Yeah, I have no idea.
Okay. Sean, can you run the program one more time? Just like you know, do R to run it again and see if we get the same bug or a different bug? Just to know if the backtrace is variable. Yeah. Okay, so now that's so weird. We're getting a different compiler crash now that you commented out that bug, or you commented out that fix for that potential runtime bug. Huh. Yes, Red, this is a high quality bug.
Maybe I should become a bug sommelier.
I don't have any bright ideas for this at the moment. The only thing I mentioned before was that we could consider marking it as invalidating the call graph instead of trying to have us fix up the call graph. That would be kind of a potentially an easy way out, potentially. Looks like Sean is going to a different ticket that it's related, or that Borja said might be related.
Yeah, well, I mentioned that because of the there is something in the ticket about using like a for loop, but not in the in the minimal example that Sam posted, there was some going through a for loop that was similar to something I seen before, but maybe it's not related.
Let's see.
So on the comment that yeah, it's the same trace.
It's the same trace.
No, I mean, it's the same trace as the bug that we have now.
3784 looks like a different trace to me.
So the one that Sean just got on the...
Oh, sorry. I wasn't looking at Sean's screen. Lower expect intrinsic is the same trace that we...
are getting now, yeah.
Prior to that. So... Sean, did you? Oh, so you just ran the same thing again. Yeah. So that's, I think that maybe the correct approach is to try to mark passes as invalidated. And I will look up the C++ syntax for doing that on the passes and add a comment to that issue ticket. I'll do. I don't know if you've been talking at any point this whole time, Sean, but you may be muted.
Oh, was I muted?
This is the first time we've heard you in like 20 minutes.
Oh, okay. Good job.
Well, you didn't show up as
me. I was telling you what I was doing.
Following instructions.
Borja just commented as though like he heard what I was doing. Yes, so I took the 3784 stuff and compiled it with the exact same one mm-hmm. with Borja's fixed compiled out and got the same backtrace, which mm-hmm. Doesn't in any way indicate to me that Borja's thing should be commented out. But Benoit's thing should be commented out, but
yeah.
I was just really curious what was going to happen at that point.
Mm-hmm. It's possible now, that we commented it out inexpertly.
It is quite possible on that.
Let me take a quick look and see.
I'm gonna see if the test pass with it commented out as I did, right? Those are running
now. genop.cc, is that where it was? Oh, sorry,
gentype.c.
Okay. So it was. Oh, you know what? It may have. I think Sean, instead of commenting out all four of those or five of those lines, I think the build unreachable should remain there.
Okay.
And I think that's why it was probably failing, is that block didn't have a terminator without the build unreachable. So I think that is worth a try.
Yep.
Commenting out line 379 through 382, but leaving in 382.
Yep. Can everybody hear the dog yelling at me?
Yeah.
This is one of those things that we would have been alerted to if the verified the LLVM verification step was on.
New crash. I'm back in heap to stack. Something under heap to stack.
Is it the same something as it was at the start?
No, it's different.
Share again.
Yep.
A new and exciting plot twist.
Here.
Oh, it's in the zap function. That's exciting.
I've never heard of the zap function before.
Me neither.
It sounds very exciting.
I don't know what the zap is. Here, I want to see if the I'm going to see if the 3784 does the same fundus.
Zap.
Oh, well, that's interesting.
Yeah. So, well, what happened is that Benoit fixed that line to unreachable was there before.
Yeah, the unreachable was there before, right? Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so it didn't add the unreachable. It just added the inline assembly.
Yeah.
So while we're on the subject, wait, 3784, right? Oh, no. This was fixed a while ago. Okay.
Yeah, it was fixed.
Okay. All right. I was like, wait, that works now. Okay.
Yeah. So what's weird is that zap function.
What the hell is zap?
Okay, so I mean it's something related to deleting a use site of an instruction. So it's like,
that makes sense from the name, I guess.
Can you go up to frame 3 using whatever method you like best?
I think it's select frame 3.
Is that what it is? I don't use this very often. No.
Or not, or frame select 3. I don't know.
It's probably that one, yeah. Because frame is like the category. Yeah, up several times works. Okay. Now, if you use your up arrow to get back to how we printed the function, I'm curious to see the function printed now. All right. So now, okay, it's the same function. Okay. We got some undefs and some bad refs. Interesting. So this is now. Okay, so the undefs are related to debug things that have been optimized out, right? So that makes sense that those would be undefs. What is half? Half is data type, so that's like the half. Pony receive done. What is pony receive done, Dushan? I forget. It's just like you receive, or what is the argument to pony receive done? Is the more specific question.
I think you're muted again, Sean, if you're not talking.
I'm going to look up pony receive done right now. Oh, that's, here we go.
I'm just reading. Oh, the context is the argument. Okay.
Oh, pony receive done, right? That's when we're done, it receives a context, and it's when we're done doing the GC. Well, sorry, when we're done doing tracing.
Yeah. Okay. So that's a fact. So the context is bad ref, which is interesting.
But I think GC receive also gets the context, right? That function, I think, also takes the context by arguments here, since we are there with. Or maybe not.
Yes. Yeah. Context.
Yeah, since we were that it goes bad from one call to the next one.
It's also weird that we call pony context get the context for value 7. Just below the bad ref.
Value 7. Oh yeah.
Is getting the pony context. We apparently have pony context in value 0. Apparently, we're not using it for some reason in pony received done, and it switched to the half data type. So I guess that relates to something LOVM did to optimize something, I guess. But
yeah, and here's and yeah, this is this, but this looks reasonable, right?
Yeah, that part looks right.
All this looks good.
I just this don't know why be, that's.
This yeah. is going to be great for people who are playing along later at home. It's the thing that nobody can see the thing from the LLVM IR that I highlighted.
Quality radio.
It's quality radio. Yeah. What the hell is going on with pony received done? That seems really, that's friggin' jacked up.
It's not the right data type anymore, right? It should be I8 star.
What the hell happened?
Quality radio. But let's see. Moving on here, it goes straight to doing pref apply. Can you show the pony source code for what?
For what we're running here?
Yeah, we're running here. Yeah.
No, of course I don't have that open anymore. Do I? Oh, there it is. Okay. Yeah, this.
Okay. So pref. Okay. So it goes. It basically just in the dispatch function for the runtime for the main actor, it kind of just goes straight to running pref apply, which makes sense from an optimization standpoint. You've gotten rid of like the create constructor. It's just directly running pref apply. It's weird that. What's weird here? Okay, so one weird thing is that we don't have. Maybe it already got zapped, right? I was gonna say there's no pony alloc call here anymore. I was looking for the pony alloc call that we're trying to remove. And I don't see it, so it must have already been removed. So it got moved to an alloca. The alloca is value 3 near at the top. So that alloca is our P class. And then value 8 and 9 are about turning it into a P. It sets the P type descriptor.
Yep.
Using value 8, and then 9 is says it's just casting the type. And then so it's like we had our so we've successfully lifted the alloca. We've gotten rid of the pony alloc call, but then something in the midst of getting rid of the pony alloc call made LLVM freak out inside the zap function. I know we're a little bit over time. I'm just feeling curious. I'm going to take a look at the zap function. We can all stick around for it if we want to.
I'm going to quit out of this trace here right now to make one tiny change. And actually, no, I can now. I'll just do another one and I'll change it out from underneath. 0459, right? Yeah. Because yep. Yeah, so yeah, if it's not an interface, if it's not going through the interface, it compiles just fine. I just wanted to make sure that was still the case.
Okay.
Right there.
Can you show the part with the zap function again? The zap function is super simple.
What do you mean by show the part with the
the part of the trace back and that shows what was?
Oh, you mean just like scroll up and show it? Yeah, okay.
Up a little bit. Okay.
Yeah, I wasn't sure what you meant for a minute. I'm like, oh, I think you just mean scroll up.
Yeah. So it's like it's within use zap. So I'm looking at the LLVM source code. So what's weird is use zap takes 3 arguments.
Yep, 3 okay. Here. A use,
yep. a use, and a boolean.
Yep.
So it has it's a start pointer, a stop pointer, and a boolean of whether to delete or not. And I bet the boolean is probably true.
I mean, we're coming from delete, so I would imagine it is, right? Yeah.
And so basically what it does is just does while start not equals stop, it starts decrementing. So it does the fancy C++ or C, ism of decrementing and then immediately using the thing you decremented and making the person remember whether you're using the old thing or the new thing. But basically it's just walking backwards from stop to start and calling the use destructor on everything in between those two locations. So, and it doesn't tell us, yeah, like with the C functions that we have the source code for, it tells us what the argument pointers are. But we don't have any information about that here. Can you use your up arrow to get to the line that you use to print the function? And can we print instead of printing F, can we print, is it I or inst? I'm not sure if it's I or inst in this case, probably inst. Just the instruction rather than the. Oh, it's okay, yeah, get rid of the ampersand, yeah. Okay.
Bad ref.
Yeah, because we already removed it, right? So it makes sense that would be a bad ref. And yeah, so this is the pony alloc small. We remove the call of it. I don't know what's going on here.
Is the null over here to be, what is that? What is this that I'm highlighting?
I think that's telling you, well, can you do P inst? Can you do X inst? Oh, well, that's not helpful. Okay. Can you do P space star inst? Okay, there we go. Use list is null. Previous is null. Next is null. Parent is null. Metadata is null. Okay. So this is something that has already been mostly destructed, I think.
Yeah.
Do we want to go a little bit deeper together, or is everybody feeling done?
Go a little bit deeper.
Okay. So can you see, like, let's see, what's the line, what's the file name and line number that we're on right now inside genop.cc? Let's see.
Genop.cc, 202.
Yeah, can you copy that and put a breakpoint there?
That's the breakpoint one, right?
B? Yeah. And then run again. Okay, so we may hit this multiple times. I'm just curious to see how many times we...
How many times? So just continue?
Yeah, continue many times and see.
One, two, three. Four.
Also, you can just hit enter without typing C. It'll do the last thing you can type, by the way. Oh, that wasn't so many. Okay. How many was that?
Like seven.
I think it was five.
One, two, three, four, five.
The goal would be to run again and have C one less number of times.
No, I think I know it was eight. It was eight. Here, look. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven. Yeah, okay, it was seven.
Yeah, so what we want to do is type C six times this time instead of seven.
Oh, this is my favorite part of using an LDB.
One, two, three, four, five, six. Okay, that was six. This is our sixth one right here.
All right, so now can we print the function? All right. Oh, I don't think this is right. I think you should hit C one more time. Okay.
Oh.
So now here we are. All right. So it's about to do the thing that blows up. Let's see. Okay. Interestingly enough, pony received done has already got the bad ref for its argument. I don't know why that is.
It has me really disturbed. Like something else went wrong earlier somewhere. And now we're just seeing the tail end of it.
That could be the case, yeah.
I just don't understand how, like, context, what? How? Why did you remove the context there? You know, I mean, it's the same damn context for the preceding two calls. So how did it get removed? It doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah.
Is this the merge? Is this the fault of the merge send pass? Could we comment out in genop.cc? Could we comment out the merge send?
I don't know. Like, I don't see why we would be here because we are, well, curious to see, but we only have a single send here.
What is the name of that one?
It's merge message send, but I think we're on the receive side, not the sending side. Because I was like, what could be messing with the pony receive done?
Mm-hmm.
And I thought of the merge send path, but that's on the send side, not the receive side. So I'm going to look at the code where we generate for pony receive done. It uses the same darn context, isn't it? Yeah, I've got no reason why that should be.
But Son, I think you commented out all the
three I did, right? Yes, okay. I did.
Okay.
Step one that I always do with these: comment them all everything out and yep. make sure it. Good. Okay. Yay. All right. Happy. That's the expected thing there. Mm-hmm. Good. Okay. Now I can continue on with life.
Add dispatch pony context pass. That sounds like it could be exactly the problem. Comment that one out.
Well, you're right. Okay.
Because that's dealing with the exact thing that's broken, the pony context in the dispatch.
I love trying to address optimization ones where it's just like, it's basically just like, that looks like it could be in the right direction. Cool. So still boom.
Still boom. Okay.
Still boom.
So can you try commenting out the first one before it hit the stack? Because
yes, that's what I was going to do.
Yeah, because maybe something is broken, yeah.
Yeah, that was my thought too, and it's related to the realloc. Okay. Maybe. Never know. Yep. Still kaboom.
Hmm. What if we only leave the heap to stack one?
Oh, sure. Why not? What the heck?
There's only four options, right?
Yeah. Well, actually,
there are many combinations.
Actually, no. There's so much more that it could possibly be. There's all sorts of fun weirdness.
Can somebody tell me whether we're using the pass manager or legacy pass manager?
We're using the legacy pass manager because the new pass manager is no bueno yet, right? We still use the legacy, the pass manager and the pass manager builder. That other one, remember, that's the one where Gordon opened the ticket and said we should switch to it, but the Rust folks are having like some god awful problem with it, an explosion at build times.
Was it right? The one that did like catastrophic bloat or something like that? I remember.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Mutually recursive functions will generate a almost infinitely large amount of code.
Okay. So
it tries to inline mutually recursive functions.
So it's not any of these things in combo with heap to stack.
So it's still broke?
Yep.
Yeah.
So the thing I was thinking of with preserving versus invalidating passes, I think that's something that's in the new pass manager. What I'm trying to figure out is how in the legacy pass manager how you mark an analysis as being invalid. There's still get analysis usage. Interesting. Okay, so maybe that is still applicable to the legacy pass manager. One moment.
Okay, so I think we should maybe comment out everything except the heap pass, because
what does everything mean?
Like, so I like the thing that you're doing, like commented out different parts before Pony specific classes.
Hey, Joe.
Yeah.
So with the inliner or the merge functions off, one of these two, it no longer blows up. I'm gonna guess it's the inliner.
I
know that's not like the most amazing discovery, but
yeah, I mean, without inlining, like, there's tons of optimizations that just get left on the table.
Yeah,
because LLVM doesn't try to optimize much across functions. Like, I mean, a lot of the time it's like, if you can inline the other function, then you could start optimizing the code across from one to the other. But otherwise, in many cases, it does not. The only other way you can do it is with attributes.
Yep. Yep. So, but it is something which, yeah. So,
okay. Here is what happens if we just remove the code that tries to update the call graph.
Which code is that?
So it's the code that near the place where we crashed. One moment. So interesting. Are we crashing on erase from parent now instead of remove call edge for?
We were, yes.
That changed because we commented out the Benoit inline assembly. Okay. Could you bring back the Benoit inline assembly? And then also, when you're ready, in genop.cc, line 193.
Line 193?
Yeah.
Oh, good. Okay, way up there. All right, okay.
Commenting out this whole section to 200. So I want to see what happens. If this crashes on erase from parent, line 202, then like it'll still be the same zap. So that would tell us something, maybe, whether it crashes there or not. Should I stop the recording, or do you think people are getting
let them enjoy it. if they've listened this far, then they deserve to listen the rest of the way. Hey, we compiled.
Oh. Okay. Okay, that's
that was not what you were expecting. For anybody who's listening along, I know from what you said beforehand that wasn't what you were expecting, but also just your reaction when I said it compiled.
So
I was not expecting this either.
So this may be correct to do. Okay, so what I mentioned at the very start of this was that maybe we don't want to take on the responsibility of being the ones to update the call graph, and we want to say, LLVM, you figure out how to update the call graph, right? Like that would maybe be my goal here, because that's possibly more maintainable than whatever's going on here. Like that would be an option that would be sound. So what I'm trying to figure out here is if anything we need to do to tell LLVM it's your responsibility to update the call graph.
I mean, are we removing something we shouldn't be? Is that basically what this, I mean, like, and maybe that's somehow related to our fucked up context in that last call? Is this analysis wrong somehow? Or we're removing?
I mean, I don't know the answer to that, but I
don't either. I was just kind of talking out loud.
Yeah, I mean, like what I'm trying to say is like I.
So
if we don't have to answer that question, that would be kind of nice, right? If we
it would. LLVM, yeah.
You decide if this needs to be removed or in what way or at what time. And so, okay, so if you scroll down to line 462,
there's a one second.
Go ahead.
So I'm looking at the blame for those lines.
Okay.
And we used to have some conditional compilation for LLVM. But I think the line that one that remove call at four, that was only done for LLVM 9 and below.
Oh.
Wait, did I miss that when I was removing all of the things?
Not that you missed it. I think it was you removed the wrong branch of the if def, I think.
Wow, that's even worse for me than what you said. Really? Oh God.
Let me find the commit.
Oh God. Oh Sean, bad Sean. Really?
I mean.
Blame is a wonderful thing where you can go back and go, no, you done did bad.
Let me. Okay.
Okay. While we're looking for that, so if you go to line 462, there's a function called get analysis usage. Let me read to you the LLVM description of what's going on here. It says, by implementing the get analysis usage method, the required and invalidated sets may be specified for your transformation. Let's see.
I posted the diff on the chat.
Basically, what it's saying here is you say, okay, here's the passes I need. They're the passes that are required. And here's the passes that I preserve. And anything that I don't mark as preserved is now marked invalidated. That means LLVM, it's your job to make sure that analysis happens again. So basically, we already don't need to be managing the call graph because we have not marked it as being preserved.
So I'm missing one line, Borja, right? Is what you were saying. Yep. That's interesting. And Joe, that's equally interesting that we don't need to be doing this.
Yeah, I mean, in theory, you know, if we wanted to keep this around, then I think we should, you know, make sure it's correct, right? Probably by adding that line. And then we should tell LLVM, hey, we preserved the call graph.
And you have to pass that new variable to the instruction.
What new variable to the instruction?
So the line you posted, call inst. That's the one you have to pass to remove call edge for.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah.
But we have a problem before that, which is there's no get instruction.
Okay.
Because call, it already is an instruction, I think. The call base is an instruction. I don't think we need this line. But it's weird that the conditional is going in the wrong direction.
That's maybe the diff makes sense with context.
I think this must have changed at some point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're saying the last time this was changed, though? No, what? But this had to have been changed when I did the removal, right?
Can you switch to the Git side by side view?
Which one is that?
Up at the top, if like there's like a way in GitHub to show a side by side diff. Split, yeah.
What am I doing? Yeah, so this was though when he did like, which was this when we brought in 12? So yeah. this could have ended up changing in 13 then.
Well, probably, but this is the last commit for.
No. Look, this was removed in that commit.
Yeah,
Gordon removed it. So I didn't miss anything. Gordon actually took this out.
Okay.
All right. So yeah, right. That's not supposed to be there. So I didn't do a thing there.
Okay.
So the thing I'm saying is basically, if we wanted to keep this around, like this is what we're doing here is useless because LLVM is gonna because we did not mark the call graph analysis as being preserved. LLVM is going to say, okay, I don't know if you screwed up the call graph, so I have to run the analysis pass again to start from scratch. So if we wanted to keep this around and fix it up and make it right, then we should mark the call graph analysis as preserved so we actually get the benefit of doing this bookkeeping. Or if we just don't want to do the bookkeeping and make compile times very slightly longer, or they're already this long, right? We're already not getting the benefit of making compile time slightly shorter by preserving the analysis. So I say we just remove these lines. There's no reason for them to be there.
That sounds reasonable to me. And I can, if somebody has time to do that nowish, that would be great. Otherwise I could do this tomorrow.
Last thing I'm going to do is just, I'm going to dig deeper into the blame, unless you already did this, Borja, dig deeper into the blame to see when that area got introduced and if there was an associated bug ticket for it or not, or if it was just something that was there since the start.
So from what I see, it just got added when we moved to LLVM 4 and 5. It doesn't seem like there's any bug associated with it. Yeah, so it has only changed when we have bumped the LLVM version.
Yeah, so this pass is mostly cribbed from the D language compiler.
Mm-hmm.
So perhaps they changed theirs and we just added in just in case.
Interesting.
Yeah, just taking one last look through the blame.
See Joe, if somebody stuck around for long enough, they could enjoy some gang debugging without being able to see what's on the screen. but still, I don't know. We need to get Ryan to listen to the whole thing and tell us if this was interesting or not.
Sounds like forced torture.
Well, I learned that we use things from the decompiler, so it was worth it.
Yeah, I didn't know that came from, yeah.
Now, do we get those from decompiling the decompiler?
Joe, no. Uh-uh.
All right.
Yeah, my video is off, but trust me, I am shaking my head at you very disapprovingly. You know, because that makes good radio.
That was the price for staying so long in the recording. You get to hear that.
Cracking jokes the whole time. All right. Thanks, everyone, for listening along to the end of this radio show. We'll see you next week for another exciting episode of Gang Debuggy without seeing the screen.
Well, so here's the thing is I could actually post the video for this as well.
Right, because we have both. Okay.
Yeah, I could.
Well, this is it makes it much more exciting then.
I think I can post the video along with the audio and I can drop both into the thing.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense.
We can save this video for this one. Yeah. Yep. Yep.
And we don't have a privacy issue, people showing their faces or whatever. So,
okay. Yeah, nope. And other than, you know, people see a little bit of my computer every now and then, but that's about it.
Maybe check for anything. Anyway, yeah. Thanks, everyone.
It's my personal one, so I really don't think there's anything there. Cool. At least nothing that I'm worried about. I just assume for everything on my